Hey guys, it's Matt here, and I got a story for you. When I was a kid, I was playing hockey, and oh man, there was this one year, this one team, we could not beat these guys. They were all over us. They were competitive games, though. They were tight, but we just could not beat them. And I remember the last game of the year, it was up against this team, and we were gearing up. We were like, we have to get these guys. When we won that last game, it was so satisfying because we finally got the victory over the team that had dummied us, that had dominated us for so long. I think this is the same thing with sexual brokenness, with sexual sin, where there's been brokenness in our lives and the enemy has come and taken ground and he's dominated us for so long, but we get to make a difference. We get to be part of a message and a mission of freedom. It is such a cool opportunity. So I want to invite you, men and women of any age, to be part of the Action Squad. The Action Squad is something that we're putting together right now. We're looking for 100 people to be on the Action Squad. There's going to be some competitive nature to it. There's prizes. And we're going to work together to help produce a documentary that is literally going to change the world. We're featuring stories of sexual brokenness, of people who have been restored and redeemed, reconciled to God and to people in their lives. And we're going to feature these stories in this world-class documentary that will be a resource for churches to host movie nights, for small groups to watch together, for families to watch and be inspired by. And it's going to highlight the problem in the church, but also show the power of God that is at work when we bring this stuff to light. And so if you want to be part of the Action Squad and help us put this documentary together, I would love for you to go to restoredministries.ca/action squad. You can watch a 10-minute video there that I put together on what it can look like for you to join us in this mission and be part of putting this documentary together. So restoredministries.ca/action squad. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Pure Victory Podcast, full of hot tips to help you win at sex, conquer porn, and find purpose in staying free forever. Here are your hosts, Matt Klein and Braden Hafner.
Hello, everybody out there. Thank you for tuning in to Pure Victory Podcast. Matt here and Braden here. Speaking of myself in third person, yeah. Braden likes this podcast.
Yeah, Matt was impressed hearing that.
Braden tells you should listen to this podcast.
My mom will text us that Louise always laughs. I do too, but my parents are John and Karen, and it'll be like a family event we're planning. And my mom will text like, okay, John and Karen can be there. Why don't we just say we will be there, mom?
Let's incorporate that into our lives. Hey, let's see how our wives respond first. Braden likes this supper that you made tonight.
It's a great idea. No, I think they'll love it.
Yeah. Oh, anyways. Let's get back into it. Today we're going to be talking about something that may be a little contentious for some of you because you've heard maybe the opposite in your journey towards freedom. But we're going to give you some context to this. But the title of our episode today is Why Bouncing Your Eyes Isn't the Answer. So first, let's give you some context. What does it mean to bounce your eyes? And then we'll talk about why we think that you need more than that. But bouncing your eyes is, you're out in the wild and you see a beautiful girl, or if you're a girl,
attracted to men,
whatever. Yeah. Anyways, you see someone you're attracted to. And really the conventional teaching on this is that you see that, and to avoid maybe lusting after them or avoid taking them in, so to speak, you bounce your eyes, you turn from them, you look away. Right. Yeah. There you go. There's your, there's a visual representation. Perfect. So you bounce your eyes. And this has been kind of a traditional teaching when it comes to dealing with lust and, even trying to move towards sobriety and some of these other addictions like porn. It's supposed to be helpful in a season of life to do that. And we're going to talk about why this can actually be a harmful thing for us if we don't understand the inner deeper parts of our lives. Bouncing your eyes on a surface level can become something harmful in the long run. And so we'll talk about that. It's actually not a way that I think that it's thought about traditionally in this regard, that this is harmful. How? Right. And so this is, I think, more of newer thought. It's newer because we're just looking at the scripture more in more depth ways when it comes to things like this. We're thinking about it a little bit more. I know this has been part of my journey too, and learning in my healing journey that, hey, bouncing my eyes, there might be a time and place for that for a season, but you need to go deeper, and we'll talk more about why that is.
Well, I just put a post up on Restored Sexuality on Instagram. If you don't follow us, you'll follow us on Instagram at Restored Sexuality. And there were 10 different slides that I put up. And one of them was about behavior management versus heart transformation. And that one got the most attention out of the 10 slides. And this is at the heart of this bouncing the eyes conversation is are we trying to change behavior or transform heart? And changing a behavior, like, hey, it's fine. If you see someone that you're lusting after and you don't want to look, and that there's nothing wrong with that. It's right. just not the answer. That's the be all and end all. And so I've been doing that lately. Like, It's up in Canada, the frozen tundra. It's not so frozen anymore.
It's actually quite hot right now. Yeah,
it is. And so girls are wearing things that they don't wear in winter. And so I've noticed lately, I've been looking away, or when I've seen people that could cause me to lust, I've looked away. But it's not in the sense of bouncing the eyes. It's just like, I don't need to look back. I don't need to linger on it. And it's cool when you do that, because a moment just passes and you never think about it anymore. But what's even better is looking away, but then also like bringing God into that too, bringing your heart into that. Like, why do I like that? Like, do I want to linger for, you know, selfish reasons? And then what does God think about that person? Yeah. What does God think about that situation with me, if I wanted to look back? And so bouncing the eyes is the answer to lust. We're going to get into various reasons why it's an incomplete teaching. And so, but I do want to throw that out there, that it's not the worst thing. We're not saying, like, whenever you see someone that you're lusting after, just keep staring.
Brad and Matt have said, you can look all you want. No, that's not what we're saying.
Exactly. And so there's just more to it. So certainly scripturally, there are things that point to changing a behavior.
Right.
But more so, the transformation comes from renewing our mind and healing and transforming the heart.
Yeah, that's right. And with this thing too, I mean, I understand, like, there's been guys that, you know, your background, your past, you really engage in the behavior in our culture, society, whatever you grew up in, where you really leer at women. You look at them, you devour them. I heard that said the other day, that you devour their beauty, right? Or devour their body, right? And you use your eyes to do that. You really, like, you're taking them in that way. And, you know, you give them the up and down, you know, you look at certain body parts, you really engage in that kind of look. And maybe that's, as a teenager and a young man, that might be the way that you did look. That's what you knew. And when you saw a pretty girl walk by, your buddies did the same thing, elbowing each other, check her out, right? You all did that. So sometimes when we've seen this, where a guy becomes a Christ follower or is trying to move away from that behavior, there is something to be said for relearning some of these things, to not look at a girl that way, objectify her in such a way like that. But really what Matt's talking about is that there's inner heart things that are at work here, inner beliefs that are at work here, just beyond bouncing your eyes. Like, I think that what Jesus really wants us to get to move towards, I'll paint you a picture, is to see people, to see them. Does Jesus turn his eyes from every person? No. And that isn't to say that, you know, depending on what is going on, and even there is a place to turn away at a moment. But what if you could see people the way that Jesus sees them? And I think that's a better goal. And that takes some heart work. That takes the Holy Spirit working in us to be able to come to a place where, well, you're learning about your arousal template, maybe there's some past there of you're attracted to a certain kind of person. And learning about that, learning the inner heart beliefs behind that. And then when we have an addictive pattern in our life, when moving towards porn, we've learned to consume. We've learned to use something to get a need met. So you might see something out in the wild, like we like to say, and that leads you to porn. Or you use it in your fantasy. You see a pretty girl and you use her in your fantasies to either masturbate or just, you know, visualize yourself with her. That's something that is harmful behavior for sure. And when we're learning to break out of that addictive cycle, there is a part to play anyways, as far as, like, we talk about sobriety isn't the end goal, but we do need to move towards that. But the deeper inner heart transformation is what really is going to cause it to stick. But there is a season that we're in initially anyway, where we're unlearning some things and we're relearning some other good things, or newly learning some good things, some good ways of doing it. And it's just like with a drug addict, right? Like, eventually you want them to get to the point where they're around their triggers, but it doesn't cause them to go down and stumble down that pathway. Whereas initially we have to remove the triggers or try to manage that as best we can. So there is a part to play in that. Same thing with our addictive patterns with porn or with lust. So that's what I wanted to say about that particular thing. But the heart transformation is where we really need to focus, because if we just have that surface level understanding, I got to always look away from pretty people, you're never addressing the underlying issues. Also, what can start to happen too is, I know maybe this, I've seen this in certain men, is you start to use women as your excuse. If they just weren't dressed that way, if they dress more modestly, then I wouldn't struggle. And then so you take all of the responsibility off of your shoulders and put it on other people. And what that does is you are a slave to your circumstances. If you're out in the world, like summertime here in Canada, girls are dressing a certain way. So what are you going to do? You're going to go stay in your basement for all summer? Like, what are you going to do? You can't live life like that. So,
or everywhere else in the world all year round.
That's right.
That's an exaggeration, but
that's right.
I'm always so relieved and happy when I talk to someone from a different country and they also have snow. I'm like, yeah. Oh, good.
You understand.
Exactly. And so the thing when we look away is what's going on in the heart, because what I've noticed and what I used to experience a lot was I'd try to look away. But then it's just exhausting. And that's why behavior management doesn't work, because it's just exhausting. Eventually, you just get weak and you get tired and you're just like, screw it. I'll just look and linger and take it all in, devour that with my eyes. And it's exhausting if we just constantly are having to look away. So what I like to do and coach people in is when you do see someone who's attractive, what goes on in your heart? Can you bring God into that and pray for them? Can you see the humanity in them? One thing that's probably the most effective for me is I just think I don't know them.
Yeah.
Like if I were close to them, it'd be with a stranger. And maybe some people are into that. I'm not into that. I don't know them. I like the knowing part with my wife.
Yeah.
Where I know her. I know her body, her look, her smells, her like her hair. Like I just know it. When I wake up to her in the morning, I see her, like I know that face. And so that's what works for me when I think like that person might be attractive, but I don't know them. Like yeah. Even if they are really good looking, like the shape of their body is not what I'm familiar with. And,
right.
And I like the knowing part of it. And so it's bringing more than just the physical attraction into it. It's bringing the emotional connection into it. And that really is effective for me. And I think I've told this before on the podcast, but I remember a few years ago just seeing this girl who I used to think was the hottest girl in the world when I was a teenager. And I saw her on this magazine cover and I just looked away. And then I looked back and I just kind of took it in, but I didn't devour it. I just thought like, man, she used to know you. I think, God, like, why is she doing this, dressing like this? And poor girl. And I just prayed for her soul. And I felt like so much care and compassion. And that's where we want to get to. And so yeah. If you're not there, that's okay, but get there. Because when you get there, you don't have to be scared of seeing attractive people. We're always going to be in life seeing people who could cause us to lust. Yeah. And so when you do bounce your eyes or you do look away, also look at your heart and also go look at the motives and bring God into that.
Yeah.
And it just starts to get to the point where it's quicker and quicker. It becomes more and more your default way of thinking when you're in those scenarios.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just always worried, like, I might lust, I'm going to the gym, there's going to be attractive people there, or, summertime's coming, or I'm going to the beach, and I need to watch my eyes, and yeah, there's a part of that for sure, but you don't want to just live in fear and constantly just, like, be on edge about seeing people, because you want to be able to see their humanity, and I think that's what Jesus did, like, when he saw some hot Middle Eastern woman, like he didn't just bounce his eyes all the time and look away. Like he was able to engage her and see her the way that his father saw her.
Yeah. I always think of like Mary, not his mother, but Mary. Yeah, yeah. I always imagined that she was very attractive.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, that's just my the import onto that scripture, but that's what I believe. And but he looked at her, right?
Yeah. Totally. He was in a relationship with her and Jesus was tempted in every way. I bet he was tempted by it.
Yeah.
But I also bet he went to the Father and got the Father's thoughts about her and about whoever else. And that's where we want to get to.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and one of the things that we know this well is that when you're really stuck in porn and kind of the even our cultural understanding of sex and others that are attractive, we relegate people to a specific body part. We objectify them, and we don't see them. We don't see them in a holistic sense. This is a person with hopes and dreams, a family. Maybe they're a wife or a husband or a mother or a daughter, whatever else, right? We don't see them that way. We relegate them to a body part or body parts. And that's what a pornified mind kind of does, right? Like that's one of the scripts that are running in the background that we need the inner heart transformation to begin to see people the way that God does. And that's really a key thing. The ongoing work of that in our lives that the Holy Spirit's doing, we need that transformation. Because otherwise, yeah, then we're just white knuckling it, like you're talking about. Like we're kind of afraid to be out in the world because we might see something, and we're gonna just say like you can't guarantee that you're not. Like you're gonna see something. Like you can't live life that way. I know there's certain people that try their best to do that, and even when there's an attractive person around, they kind of shy into themselves, right? They're not living out of who they are, and I've seen this too, where they kind of don't engage with someone who's attractive. Because they're afraid of being attracted to them. Now we understand that, yeah, there's a season maybe where we're trying to get some health in our life, but really the goal of what we're trying to move towards is that we can fully be free to be ourselves, but at the same time, make others feel loved and feel safe in our presence, secure in our presence, and that we elevate people around us. We don't devour them. And how great would that be, right? And I think we can get there. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life too. And then it removes that understanding too, because we were just talking about this, we're coming on this, but we've seen where men in particular, we've seen this happen where we'll blame women for our lust problem. So, well, if she wasn't dressed that way, I wouldn't lust. If she didn't give me that look with her eyes, then I wouldn't lust. And the problem with that is we are completely enslaved to our circumstance. And in that moment too, like we have to take ownership of our choices. So what is lust? Lust is an attraction. You might be attracted to somebody. You might find them attractive. You might find them beautiful. I think that's a God-given desire, a good thing. You see someone who's attractive. My wife and I talk about this all the time, you know, like, well, that's an attractive person. Not that we're going around saying that, but what we mean by that is like, it's no different than saying, oh, there's a cloud. There's an attractive person. There's a difference. We can acknowledge that people are attractive, right? But we're not devouring that. If Chris and I are talking about that, she's not fearful that I'm going to take that memory of that woman and go home with it and incorporate it into some sort of fantasy in my life or use it to go look at porn or whatever else. There's some security there. And that's where kind of we need to move towards, where we see people for who they are, not just, hey, that's an attractive person, but that is a person made in God's image. So we can't blame our lust problem on others. We can't do that. And I've seen this before. I was a little bit careful to share this example, but this happened a little while ago where my wife and I were speaking on stage, and my wife is beautiful, but she's not going to dress in a way where she's wearing a paper bag. Like she dresses, classy, right?
But also not skimpily at all. Never seen skin.
She's modest, but she shows off her beauty, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we had this one couple come up to us, say, "Hey, we couldn't hear anything you were saying because I was lusting," and it was a really awkward conversation.
It was a husband and a wife, right?
I just want to be clear. I don't want to make light of this. Whatever is going on in that couple's life, I empathize with it. I feel some sadness for that in their life that's occurring. But I just want to be very clear. That's an example. We can't blame others for our lust problem. And that's happened a lot. And unfortunately, that's kept many of us from, we have to take ownership of where we're at. That's really key and important in our healing journey. If we don't do that, to be honest, we're not ready. You know, if we're blaming others or blaming circumstance or blaming anything but our, you know, the choices that we make or what's going on or even what happened to us in our past, if we're not naming that and taking ownership of it, we're just not going to see a lot of freedom. And so that's why we're talking about this, because we want you to be free. So if you're blaming lust, your lust problem on others, you got to flip the script on that one. It's not going to work. It really isn't.
Yeah. And bouncing the eyes is dishonoring to both parties, the one who has to mount the eyes and the one who can't be looked at. because it's dishonoring for me to think, oh, I have to bounce the eyes, because what I'm saying is I'm not strong enough, wise enough. I don't have the ability to look at someone and see past their physical appearance. I mean, that's, I don't want to live like that. And there's some people that do. Some people, that's their whole answer and solution, bounce the eyes. I'm like, man, there's a lot more that you could, a lot greater health and greater revelation that you could live in. But also dishonoring to the person who's attractive, because, man, I'm too attractive. You can't even look at me.
Right.
Like, there's more.
How does that
to
person
me.
Feel?
There's right. more to me than yeah. that. I remember yeah. a woman said that to me when I was talking about this, and she's like, thank you for saying that, because I want to be able to be looked at for more than just my looks. And then what about the people that you can look at? Go, oh, I'm not attractive, or they're not attractive.
Right.
It's just right. not an honoring thing at all. And
no.
so.
So if you're a woman out there and you've seen guys dive underneath stairs and, you know, basically jump into the ocean and not look at you, take it as a compliment, even though that's not right behavior.
No, exactly. And so, yeah, no, it's not an honoring concept. It's something that, sure, there's wisdom to it, to not lust after things. And you know, if there's this guy recently, he said to me, hey, has anybody ever flashed you? Or no, he said, has anybody ever... I think you graphically like flash their boobs at you. Mm-hmm. And this guy is like he's, I don't want to be mean, like, but he's older. He's not in the prime of his life physically.
Right. Okay. I understand. Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, well, I said, no, like emphatically, I was like, no, that's never happened. And I said, I didn't know that people do that. And he was like, oh yeah, and it's happened lots to him. And I'm like, there's some difference in the way that we interact with people.
Right.
I remember this guy, a business leader, he was about 70, and I heard him years ago, and he was from stage. He was talking about adultery and people cheating. And he said, I don't know what it is, because I've never had that opportunity. He's like, maybe I'm just ugly. But he's like, he's been married 50 years or whatever. He's like, I've literally never had the opportunity where I've gotten that close to someone to cheat. And so these people that do, like, there's some difference, right? Like, I don't have women coming and flashing me, but other people do. And so what's the difference? I think the difference is how you interact with people.
Yeah.
And if you never learn how to interact with people beyond their beauty, there's something there where there's something wrong in your heart and in your mind. I remember when I was younger, when I was a teenager, especially, I was a little bit more insecure, and whenever there were super attractive girls, I would be intimidated and I wouldn't talk to them, or I'd be quiet when I was around them simply for their beauty. And I think, how sad. And I'm glad that that's not the case now, because I don't have to act differently depending on if someone's attractive or unattractive. I can yeah. just talk to them because they're a person. And I praise God for that.
Yeah. Oh, so true. I can relate to that too. Like, and often I think that what you learn growing up too affects this, because when you're a teenage boy and you're always drawn to beauty for sure. I mean, your hormones are going crazy you're kind of in your conversation with your friends. Well, you meet someone like that, you got to try to figure out a way to get them to like you or whatever the narrative is. But the problem with that is that you change the way you are dependent on who's around you. And we don't want to do that. Like, I think that that's a really key thing, is that we are consistent, that we have integrity in that, that we're not putting on a mask or changing the way we talk to somebody. Because we can sometimes, based on what we learn, if we see we're around someone who's attractive, the way that we talk is more either, yeah, we're being really shy and withdrawn, or we are overly trying to gain their affection because they're attractive. And I think that being aware of this, having people in our lives that can speak into this, is helpful for sure. But sometimes we're just so unaware that we do that. It's like a second nature thing. And you're right. I think some guys that men and women alike that maybe have those relational issues where they're committing infidelity or whatever else. I mean, not always, but sometimes there is more of that boisterousness with the opposite sex in this regard, where they're inviting something. And so often people don't know that, or they're trying to meet an underlying need just in doing that. So yeah, becoming aware, self-aware. And that's really key too, what you're looking at too. What are you feeling? Why is this happening internally in me? Is this linked to something? You know, what's going on? Pray into it. I know that I had to do a lot of that, you know, learning about your arousal template, but you don't stop there. You go deeper. What's happened in my life that has led me to find attraction with that? And sometimes it's just as simply you're attracted to a certain kind of person, but often that attraction has been distorted and twisted and hurt and broken based on a lived life and a sinful and a behavior or just sin in general. And so we need to come to terms with that and even the hurt and pain in our life and what need we're trying to get met. So can you be comfortable in your own skin aside from who's around you? And that's an important part of this too. It's become comfortable in your own skin. And that's the work of God in your life.
Yeah, it is. It is. I remember when I was starting to teach this, there was a guy who just said to me, I am not there. Like, he's like, I can't look at people and see past the physical appearance. And maybe I'm wrong on this, but I would say he could do that. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. You can choose. And what I think is valid is he's saying that's not my default. He's not there where it's automatic, but that's okay. Just decide, like, hey, that person that I lusted after, God, I want you to give me a heart mm-hmm. for them like you have. And you can pray this prayer all the time. Like, God, I want to see people like you see them. How do you see people? Break my heart for what breaks yours, people say, or like, help me to see beauty in a way that honors you. You can pray those prayers and God really will help you because he wants to help you and he wants to make you more like him. He wants you to have healthy relationships. And so don't just avoid seeing attractive people and just bouncing the eyes and just leave it at that. Go, okay, this person's attractive and God, how can you help me change the way that I see them? I want to see them as a person. I want to see value. If they're believers, they're in the family of God, man, God, like they're your child or they're part of your bride. I want to see them like you. If they're not in the family of God, then man, like they're lost. They need you. You're wanting your kindness to draw them to you, to repentance. And I don't want to take advantage of that. I'd want to be a witness for you. Mm. And so can you think more like this? I think that you can. And so I don't want you guys to hear this and go, oh, I'm not there, and then not take action, because you might not be there with your default. And even me, I'm not where I want to be with it. I want to be better and better and all the time with it. But let's do this. Let's grow in this. And let's train our minds and train our hearts and pray and have God help us, because you get to a point where anywhere you can be, you can be okay.
Yeah.
I remember this pastor, he was talking about, if there was a naked woman in front of me, my heart would break for her, for God's love to become real in her life. Mm. And he's like, I had a buddy say, come on, no, you wouldn't. Like, you'd want, and he's like, no, Jesus has changed me. I would want to talk to her about Jesus. I believe that we can get there. And so let's make that the goal. Let's not make just not lusting the goal.
No.
Let's make becoming like Jesus the goal.
Right. And sometimes it's helpful to visualize some of these things before we face them. Like, visualization can be a really good thing. What I mean by that, it's not some sort of new age thing. Like, I've done something like this in the past where, and you know this, if you've ever struggled with porn, there's certain scenes or images that are more burned on your memory than others, just based on, you know, certain points of life, arousal, whatever it's linked to. But what if you could visualize Jesus in that moment, but with you? And I always think of this, what if you could, in that moment, put a robe over her or something like that, whatever woman was in that, and bring her to Jesus? Things like that humanize others. Because a big thing with lust, when you lust after someone, you dehumanize them. You see them as an object. You see them as something to be devoured by you for your own needs. But when you see them as human, as a person with needs and wants and desires, that changes things. And I think that's what God can help us do. So even in moments, like if you're, there's a particular person, your kind of person you're attracted to, the same kind of thing. See them as Jesus does. Ask those questions. Ask good questions. Jesus, how do you see them? What are some ways that I can show love in that moment? Can you help me with what I'm feeling? Can you show me what it would do for my heart if I was to love others around me the way that you want me to? Asking those questions. And I think that when you pray that way, God answers those prayers. He works in that. And what I mean by visualization is it's kind of like a prayer visualization, I should say, where you invite God into that and let him speak to you through that. Because sometimes we have a real hard time in the sense of seeing people as human. Like we can really dehumanize others in the way that we are. And so I think that's, we really need help with that. You know, I did. I mean, I think that's one of the problems with porn is it dehumanizes another person. It sees them as nothing more than an ends to a means. So when we move past that, and I'm giving you the kind of visualization of hope here in this too, what would that look like for you? If you could start seeing people the way that God does and you can get there, how freeing would that be? And then not only that, but sometimes we miss this in when it comes to this area. How could God use you? When we're so inward focused on some of these things, especially when we're looking at others with lust and taking them in and making decisions to fantasize about them, whatever else, we remove ourselves from the equation, a sense of what God maybe wants to do through us. We become really self-focused instead of outward focused. And what do you bring to the table? And I know that God has given you so much to, and you may not know this, but he has given you giftings. He's given you a purpose. And what if you lived out of that? How would that bless others around you? That's the thing sometimes that we miss out is it's not just about me. It's about what God's going to do through me. And catch that vision, how you could love everybody around you, whether they're attractive or not so attractive. How can God use you in that? And I hope that is something that spurs you on. I know that for us, getting a clear picture of where we're moving towards in our freedom journey can be a really good thing for us. Not in the sense I got to climb this massive mountain. I don't know if I'll ever get there. It's God who does the work, but let's partner with him in that and say, hey, this is where I do want to go. Jesus, this is where I want to be. Show me how to be there, how to be that person. Change the script and in what's going on in your mind of like, I don't think I can get there, or I'm not sure how, because God will show you.
That's right. That's right. And get around other people that will show you that too and have healthy conversations. If you're not in our community yet, Pure Freedom Community, it's for guys over 18 and it's free to join. And there's some just good conversations in there. There's we're doing live teachings in there. We're doing challenges. Guys are connecting in different ways. And we're spurring one another on to love and good deeds. It says in Hebrews 10, which is one of the core verses that God gave me. And it's what we're doing. We're spurring one another on and sharpening each other. And so let's do this. Let's get to that point where no matter the situation, we can see people with God's heart. It's a pretty awesome place to be. And so if you haven't joined the community yet, I encourage you to do that. There's a link in the show notes. You can also go to purefc.ca and join for free. And if you want to book a call also, there's an option for that, obviously, in the show notes as well. Lots of marriage resources. We want to remind you too at Family Life Canada, and take advantage of those. There's, if you're married, they just, there was someone recently, they said that they were at one of your weekend getaways at Family Life, and they were like, man, it was so good. Oh yeah, it was one of my leaders. He said his marriage has not been the same since one of the weekend getaways. Yeah. And I think he was at the one in BC on, is it Vancouver Island?
Yeah.
The one in Victoria.
Yeah, one in Victoria. Yep.
Yeah, I think he went to that one. He's like, my marriage has been so much better since then. And then I heard of someone else recently too. So
there's one in Lake Louise, but yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, exactly.
I met him.
So if you can go to Family Life and get some marriage resources for you, it'll bless your marriage if you're married, obviously. So hope that helps. And if you want to share this podcast, you can share it on YouTube. You can share the podcast link from your app. Share it with a buddy. Could you share it with one or two friends? And leave a comment or leave a review. That always helps get the word out more too. So thanks for taking this in. I hope that makes sense. And with this, I guess we'll let you bounce. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to hear more, please visit purevictorypodcast.com to subscribe. This podcast was made possible by the generous donations of our subscribers. If you would like to help support the cause financially, once again, please visit purevictorypodcast.com.